Welcome to the Art and Science of Attraction. This is kind of the culmination of many years of trial and error. And I mean culmination, not that the journey's done, but there's enough of it to look back and put together some pieces that would have been helpful to understand when I got started. So that's kind of my goal for everyone that's listening, is to, on one hand, this is simple. On the other hand, getting to this simplicity took me a long time and lots of experiences. So hopefully you'll find it helpful. There will also be distributed with the recording another report that I'm going to include with this called Power Positioning that I created, talking about how to get people to buy without needing them to buy. There'll be some other resources, links and stuff that I refer to during the next hour or so that will make it easy for you to do more research in the future. A couple rules of the road, just so you have a clear understanding of where I'm coming from in all this. Number one, to walk this journey kind of requires that you give up any type of victimhood type of thinking. I like to call this a victim-free zone, right? We all have things that happen to us in our life, but so that's a given. How we respond and how we view those things is not a given, completely in our control. And I'd recommend that the work that we're going to do here, that you start off just being okay with giving up that the world is happening to me kind of frame of mind, if that's something that's in your sphere of reality at the moment. Attraction, funny enough, is something that we control because attraction is a response to signals that we're broadcasting. So it's not that some people are lucky. It's not that, you know, this is chance. What we're going to talk about here and the results that we're after are really the result of internalized habits and discipline. On one hand, we're going to kind of start from the inside and work out. So we'll start talking about energy, which is really what everything in the world is made of, right? And is what we use to create just about everything. So on one level, attraction is about directing that, focusing it in the right way, so that when it goes out into the world, it comes back bringing the things that we intend. Obviously, we're doing this with a business focus. Because we are all in some sort of client-attracting business or customer-attracting business. However, much like businesses run by people, this is a human thing. And this is something that will extend far beyond your business life. So just be prepared. You're going to do work in the business realm, but this will ripple through almost every area of your life. It certainly has mine. It's not instant, but it is effective. Okay, so part one, we're just going to lay a brief foundation to make sure that we're all on the same page here. Number one, everything that we see and interact with is energy, right? Everything is made from it. Energy kind of travels on a certain path. It can be flavored different ways, but it's basically the building blocks of everything, right? Your body is made of it. Emotions are it. Thoughts are it. All impulses of energy, matters, energy, anything that you can touch, things that you can't touch. if you develop the ability to first become aware of this, how it's moving through you, then you develop the skills and the abilities to control and direct this on purpose, things in your reality begin to change. You've probably, if you've been in my world for a while, this is not like a brand new topic. So this is probably that something that you get already at a deep level, and that's great. Some people you start talking like this, and they, you know, want to get you committed, but those aren't the people that generally end up on calls like this. Understand that, like I said, we're going to focus this in at your business, but business is not some lifeless entity that exists outside of, you know, human beings. Like every business, even if it's one that employs thousands and thousands of people, the energy of these individuals is flowing through the whole thing. So if you change the people, the business changes. If you change you, your business and your world changes. So In terms of this path of attraction that we're going to walk through, it's going to begin on the inside of us. It's going to work towards the outside of us into the world where it can do some good. Okay, so first of all, let's talk a little bit about what in my experience and in the experience of a lot of people I've worked with is the number one obstacle to attraction. And the place that we're going to start is actually at the other end of the spectrum, right? If on the one end you have you attracting the things you want, we're going to start at the other end. And the reason that we're going to do that is because this is the end where most people spend their entire lives, right? They spend their entire lives in what I would call like a constant state of need. Yes, they probably have food. Yes, they probably have water, all the things that they need physically. However, there is a huge amount of need that still exists, you could say, in their energetic field, in their gut, in their being, whatever you want to do. This, unfortunately, is not an accident, and it's really done by design. And we'll get to that in a moment. I talk about this, or touch on it at least, a lot. Today we're going to go a bit deeper. So all of these things kind of are out there, are set up to put you in this state of need. And I said at the beginning, we're not going to go into the, you know, victim mindset. So we all have this situation where the world is set up a certain way to result in us being in a certain state of being, in a state of need. That's just the reality of it. The good news is this can be changed. You can move forward accepting this reality that we're in, and or you can move forward not accepting it, wishing it were not so. We're going to choose the first path. We're accepting how it is right now, and we're going to move forward anyway. So think about this simple question. What's the difference between needing something and wanting or desiring it? A lot of people would probably say it's the same thing. I think there's a distinct difference, and it's very important to understand this difference when it comes to attraction. And usually when I say that word over the next hour, or hour and 10 minutes, whatever it takes, I mean client attraction, because that's really what we're doing, or customer attraction. So the difference to me between need and wanting or desire, the difference is has to do with the location of what I might call your internal power. In one of these words, you retain it. In the other, you give it away. In need, you've given your power away. In wanting or desire, it's possible to do that while retaining your internal power. Now, if you don't know exactly what that means, I'll give you a simple example in just a moment. But wanting and desire, like an aspirational kind of feeling, generally leads or can lead to a focusing of your power and a directing it on the thing you want or desire. That's like what the law of attraction talks about. That's what The Secret kind of skirts around. Needing, however, you might think of that as a byproduct. It's a byproduct that's created when you give your power away. So what does that mean to give your power away? Here's a quick example from the client world. I've done this many times. I'm guessing you are probably not a stranger to this either. So let's imagine you're working with the client and you submit the project or the first draft or the work that's done, the website, whatever, and then you start waiting with that anticipation. It's a very strong anticipation where you're eager to see if the client likes your work or not. So if the client loves it, if you get that, wow, this is great, never seen anything like it, the rest of your day is awesome. If the client hates it, it feels like the sky is falling. Now, you might think one is giving away your power and the other is not, but both of these instances, to me, are you giving your power away. You gave control of you, your thoughts, and your feelings to someone else or something else outside of you. That's the definition right there. And bad things happen when this is the case. Bad things, especially when you're trying to build a system fueled by a mindset and fueled by a perception to attract clients. So at the other end of the attraction spectrum is what I call the land of need, right? This is where most people live. This is where most service providers live. And if you remember nothing else, which would be unfortunate, because there's going to be a recording from the next hour, just remember that need repels, the absence of need attracts, right? That is like the core tenet that it's one thing to get it, like in your head. It's another thing to really embody it, and even more than believe it, to know it to such a degree that you can get the right feelings in you. Feelings then lead to thoughts, then lead to the actions that lead to you building things that bring these clients to you. And that's the path that we're going to take over during this call. So need is the byproduct that's created when your own internal power is given to someone or something outside of you, right? This is what happens when you grant power over whether or not you're okay to someone else. When you give them that control, like we do in the client situations, when you're waiting to hear what they said about your work, you have just gifted them the ability to make you okay or not. And we do it like 40 times a day. I spent years doing it all day long. So let's talk about what this is. Because it's a habit for so many people, how did it get there? The good news is that this is a program that we're running, like in our being, right? We run lots of programs. Some of them are conscious, some of them are not conscious. Programs that you pretty much control or could control through your thoughts and beliefs about the way things are or the way things are not. The bad news here when it comes to attraction is that a lot of these programs that you've been running aren't yours. They don't serve you. In fact, they seem to serve everyone but you. So need is one of these programs. And before we get to the outside world and talk about building this client attraction system, which we're going to do later on, first we have to talk about how to rewrite this program and what are the pieces that go in to writing a different program. Okay, so just to be clear, need is a program you're running, and you have the power to rewrite it or replace it with something better, something that's actually going to serve you, something that's actually going to better serve the clients that you're trying to attract. The unfortunate reality is that you were deliberately programmed to create this need in almost every area of your life. The behavior was modeled probably from your parents. They got it from their parents. It's all through your relatives, all through your friends, probably with few exceptions. And most likely, it was also taught to you in school for decades. So, an enormous education in this habit that now, when it comes to carrying yourself through the world, thoughts and your words and your actions in a way that's attractive, you are constantly sabotaging yourself with this program running in the background. Now, I talk a lot about this guy. His name is John Taylor Gatto. He's going to be in the resource list with some of the books he's written over the years. He is a retired school teacher, public school teacher. In fact, he was named New York State Teacher of the Year. I think it was back in 1991-ish or something like that. He somewhat surprised the awards committee because on receipt of his award, he took the opportunity to tell all the people that had given him the award the real lessons that he felt he had been teaching his students all those years. I'm going to list them here quickly, just with one or two comments, but you can find his whole article about this, part of one of his books, if this is something that's of interest to you. This will be on the resource page that I send out. So, according to Gatto, what kids are really taught in the school system is seven lessons. Number one, confusion. He explained that he teaches this by teaching everything out of context. Subjects are kind of in no particular order. There's no connection between the geology that you learned in the morning and the social studies that you got in the afternoon. You're just kind of taught this hodgepodge of disconnected facts. You're taught really not much in terms of the meaning between any of these facts. Lesson number two, you're taught class position. Classes are segmented. This class does this, this class does this, these age kids stick together, and these other ones stick together with their kind. Lesson number three, indifference. Nothing is that important. You could be in the middle of your test, the bell rings, you get up and go to the next thing. And I did that, what, 8 or 9 times a day for a long time. Emotional dependency. You can feel good about yourself if we tell you. If you get the A, feel good about yourself. If you get the C or the D, we're going to have to talk to your parents. Intellectual dependency. The teacher will tell you what to do. They'll direct the course of learning because they know best. Lesson number six, conditional self-esteem. Self-respect should be based on an expert opinion. Unfortunately, that expert should not be you. And number seven, you can't hide. We're watching you all the time. The teacher will get you. So according to him, those were the seven lessons he'd been teaching for decades, and that's why he quit. He said, I can't do this anymore. The end result, though, whether you got this type of programming from a system like that, whether you saw other people who had been through a system like that, doesn't really matter. The end result is that you have all these human beings systematically disconnected from their own internal authority, right? Who's the authority? When I was in school, who was the authority in my life? I could have pointed to a lot of people, but the last one would have been me. And maybe I don't even know if I was smart enough to pay lip service to that. I don't think so. But deep down, it certainly wasn't the truth. So when you have human beings like that, it leads to a world where people are running a program that makes them seek out the authority for them. And that authority is always on the outside. Very few people are running a program that makes them their own authority, right? And so connecting the dots here, where we're like walking down this little trail of breadcrumbs, the problem is that this ends up with a collection of people who must be granted like okayness. Now, I know that's not a word, but that's my word. They have to be gifted that from the outside instead of gifting it to themselves. Because if you take a kid and you raise that kid with the deeply held belief that no matter what that kid does, he or she is going to be loved anyway, that's a child that will be very difficult to control, right? But most of us are not running a program like that because that's not the habit that was ingrained in us. We spent a lot of time and energy being trained to focus on everything we didn't have. You're much easier to control when that's how you feel. I need more clients. I need more money, right? Most all of us on the phone here are better off than 98% of the world, and yet this is how our mind works. We need more of everything we don't have, and the only place we can get it is out there, right? We were not trained ever, except maybe in some religious circles, but I was trained in religious circles, and it didn't have this the feeling that I'm after. We were never really trained to invest a lot of time and energy in being okay with things as they were and with what we had, right? Because if you're content, if you have that level of okayness, you are very hard to control because you're not really looking outside for anything. So on a very deep personal level, this is the source of the problem. People say, clients don't respect me. People say they won't pay my fees. They're not paying attention to me. This guy is not half as good as I am, but I'm not getting the clients. If you trace the breadcrumbs all the way back to the source, we just hit the source. This is the true source of the problem. So what do you do? So step one, before we go out into the world and try to build this business that we want, before we try to attract these high quality clients that people tell us are out there that will actually respect us and highly regard us and do follow our advice and counsel and not have trouble paying us, you know, generously for what we deliver to them, we have to rewrite this program and go out there with a program that is actually designed for success. And by success, I mean not to make us miserable. So the way forward then, and the foundation of attraction, is a rewritten program that, number one, eradicates need from your being, right? This is something you control, and you're going to be the source of everything that's going to flow from this point forward. So you embody the feelings and the actions and the behaviors consistent with that feeling. That's the first part of the work to do. Then we take that and we build the systems and structures that deliver those things to the marketplace. That's the part that everybody wants to jump to because it's really cool and exciting, especially when it starts working. But without the first part, it's a little bit like building a castle on sand. So first of all, understand this is a process. This is not an event. This has been a process for me, well, ever since I was born, right? But for most of it, I was unconscious. So up until about, what year are we into? 2007, I was running this program, not even aware that I was running a program. From about 2007 to 2010, I was aware I was running a program and had no clue what to do about it. I was still the victim, not in a helpless, but the recipient of crap of the program. But I was aware of that, but I had no clue what to do about it. So, first of all, why would you bother to go to all this trouble? Number one, those who are filled with need tend not to be attractors of anything, right? They tend to be attractees. They are attracted to others. While this is great, and you could be grateful that there are things to be attracted to, this is not the position we want to be in terms of clients. Why would you want to bother with this work? Number two, if you're filled with need, that need requires resolution, right? And therefore, you're going to gravitate to the things and people you think will resolve it, meaning you will be forever controlled by things out there. And why would you do this work? Well, you're going to transform your business, but you're also going to eventually transform the rest of your life. So step one, there are two parts to this recipe here. Eradicate need, right? And then we're going to completely redream the relationship between client and service provider. This is before we build anything. So how do we eradicate need? They're simple, but not easy things. Number one, a radical acceptance of what is, right? We talked about this before. If you're content, if you're that child and you're okay knowing that no matter what happens, you're going to be okay, that's a very nice position to be in. So a radical acceptance of what is right now. This is a process to develop this into a feeling. Number two, a deep gratitude for that whatever situation you are in at the moment. It's impossible to feel need and feel gratitude at the same time. Try it. Impossible. So those are two feelings that we're looking to develop the ability to conjure at will. At first, it's going to be on purpose. Maybe it's going to be difficult, but we're going to make a concerted effort to do it. But this will soon become a habit. This feeling that you will carry will become a habit. So when you embody these two feelings together, there will be no more room for need, right? And it's at that point that we can go out into the world. So at first, you're just going to sit there and ask yourself, what do these feelings feel like? What does it feel like to have a radical acceptance of what is? Another way that you could phrase that is when people talk about self-responsibility, it's a really neat buzzword. It's probably the hardest thing that you could do in your life until you get it. Then it becomes the easiest thing, and it's almost like a key to freedom. To say that everything in my life as it is right now is my responsibility. That doesn't mean it's your fault. It means it is, it exists, and from this point forward, it is yours to deal with. What does that feel like? To me, that feels like an immense stillness happens. All those crazy thoughts in my mind calm down. When I simply take a breath and say, this is mine, I will carry it. The energy shifts, right? That's a radical acceptance of what is, regardless of circumstance. Easier said than done. What does gratitude feel like? Think of someone, oftentimes it's easiest to think of someone who you are so connected with and who you care for so much, and then imagine them gone, right? And then imagine you can have them back. What does that feel like to be grateful that they are there. That to me is how I shortcut to getting this feeling. And both of these feelings, you want to blow them up as much as you possibly can. And this happens in your gut. This is not something you think about. So that's skill number one to start to practice. This is a daily practice. This is what I wake up when I don't really have an alarm anymore. Something else wakes me up, and it always wakes me up between like 3:40 and 4:40 in the morning. And I've gotten into the habit. At first, it was nerves that woke me up, anxiety about everything I hadn't done, everything I was about supposed to do, anxiety about all the things that I hope didn't happen, right? It hit me at that time in the morning. And I got in the habit of the minute that started to take a breath and think of all the things that I could be grateful for. And that started a new habit. Okay? Feelings are power. They're like the batteries of the body. When you go out to a networking event, the feelings that you are holding in your being, in your energetic field, impact others, right? This is why this is so important. Now, I live in Sedona, so this is like a normal Thursday to talk about this stuff, but it is so far from not practical that I'm looking forward to the day that people stop making fun of talking about this side of things, and using the word woo-woo and stuff like this, because this is the meat that human beings out there are seeking, right? But they just can't seem to find it yet. So feelings are power. That's why this whole law of attraction thing works. Like when you want to, not that you can like sit down on your couch and think your way to riches, not that that's a worthy goal anyway, but whatever. The smarter way to bring these things towards you is actually to develop the ability to generate the feeling in you that would exist if that reality that you want was real. This is ancient knowledge, not anything that I figured out, but it is about the feelings because those are power. Your mind directs and focuses those feelings as they go out into the world. But the source of that power are the feelings themselves. So, if you're an individual who is living 100% in his or her head, let this be a wake-up call that you're using 10% of your power, right? And when you develop the ability to first become aware of the feelings, then to flavor the feelings, then to largely control the feelings, not that we control everything, but you can develop the ability to say, I will not harbor this feeling every day of my life. That's the kind of skill that we're looking for. Step number two, then, as we're working on this, embodying these feelings that eradicate need, that eradicate the need for approval, for validation, for money to come in, for anything. Next, what I call redream the relationship between the client and service provider. Relationships are based on perception, right? Your view of a relationship is rarely going to be the same as the other person in the relationship as their view. It's all about perception. And I think that service providers operate under an extremely skewed and damaging, really, perception that a client is somehow in a position of authority over them. It's almost like, and I did this for a long time, it's almost like the client becomes the teacher. The old school teacher that we're used to, like that type of authority figure. And when you have a perception like this, that you're down here and they're up there, then it really increases the risk of you dipping into that how you were taught to deal with authority program that you were, given or gifted, or brainwashed with as a kid, right? But perception is not truth. So, yes, clients can fire you. However, you can fire them just as easily. They can not like your work. Well, you can just as easily be displeased with the way they treat everyone in their sphere. They can talk about you to others, good or bad. You can do the same. Not that I'm recommending it. But really, when you take a view of the relationship from farther away, the relationship is not what it feels like when you're in it. Of course, the thing that your mind will say is, well, that's nice. That's pretty idealistic, actually. But when they're paying the bills, then what? Right? I have to eat. I have to feed my family. If they're paying the bills, then they do have the upper hand. I thought that for a long time. I acted like that for a long time. When the client called and I'm kind of the type of individual that I can tell what somebody's feeling even when they don't say it, right? And so when I knew they were pissed off, that created an immense amount of pressure in me to do something, whether it was to get back to them, whether it was to try to make it better. When I was paid, what was the number? $9,000 to write a copywriting promotion years ago. It was one of my first, and I submitted it, and I got the call or an email maybe a few minutes later saying, this was nothing like we talked about. Talk about the bottom dropping out of your stomach, right? All of my power, not that I had much at the time, gone. It was out there. I gifted the future of my life to this individual. That was my program. That's how I reacted. And when they were paying the bills, I was like, wow, you just got to do it because they're in control. But when your mind is thinking like this, that betrays the real perception that you have, right? It betrays the real perception that you have about the relationship between the person that hires you and you. And you truly do believe that they're up there and you're down here, right? Without redreaming this, which means to make a new movie, to view this from a different angle, without redreaming it like that, it's going to be really hard to turn your power of attraction up to its highest levels. So, what is the truth? What's the truth about the nature of the relationship between a client and a service provider? The truth is that clients have the money, right? Nobody can argue with that. They are paying you. However, the truth is also that when they hire you, they are saying that what you have for them is more valuable to them than money. That is no small little statement, right? Because the fact is, you can get money from thousands of places. They can get what you do and the way you do it from one place. So, what happens if you start to view things from that angle? That really changes how things feel, doesn't it? Not that we are on a pedestal above the client, but we are right there beside the client because we each have something that the other values. However, I think I can make a compelling argument that you, as the service provider, has something that is far more valuable, far more scarce, right? And far more important to the future of your client. Otherwise, they wouldn't be trading their money for it. This is a good mind exercise at the beginning, but that's not the point. The point is to translate that shift in perception into a feeling, which is a feeling that has nothing to do with, I hope the teacher gives me a good grade feeling, or I hope they like what I do feeling. The feeling that we're trying to develop into a habit with you is the feeling that you would have if you had a big sack of gold and people that were starving to death came to you. It would be very clear that you had gold that could greatly impact the quality, if not the future, of that person's life. Right? That's a great feeling. When you have something that is so valued by another that when you share it, it completely transforms their situation. That's the goal that we're working towards. And it doesn't hurt that it's the truth, right? You have the gold. And so, if I can recommend nothing else to you, it's the power of the daily habit. That's how almost everything I've ever done good has happened. So the power of the daily habit can mean you waking up, thinking about what it means and what it feels like to have a radical acceptance of what is, what it feels like to be completely grateful for all that is, right? And then what it also feels like for you to be carrying the gold that can transform lives. Maybe that transformation occurs in money that you help your client make, in a better business, or relief of pain. It could be so many things, right? But the thing to internalize is that you are, in fact, carrying around gold that does not require validation, that does not require accolade, that requires nothing. Gold is gold and is inherently valuable, right, to most people. That's the inside work. So now let's just begin to have one foot in both worlds, the inside world and the outside world. And let's turn for the first time kind of towards the world of our clients. And the good news, if you can call it good, is that your prospective clients tend to be just as needy as every other human being on the planet, right? So all of that stuff that we're going to work to elevating ourselves beyond or through, most everyone that you're ever going to deal with will still be dealing with those things. So at the base, attraction begins with you having something that they want, right? And what do they want? Well, all of the different people listening to this call, your clients are going to, on the surface, say they want different things. At the very deepest level, however, if you go through what they say they want, if you go through how getting what they want might help them achieve some goal that they didn't really say that they want, if you keep digging down and digging down, they too want this lack of need. They too want to be okay, right? So the entrepreneur wants to double, triple sales. Yes, he wants that, but why does he want that? He wants to reach that goal because at some level, he thinks it's going to mean something and bring certain things to him, a shift in how he feels or a shift in how he perceives the world or is perceived. It will move him closer to that okayness, that lack of need. So it's kind of crazy when you begin to look out into the world and see that we're all running this program. Not that we use this to our advantage, but we use this understanding to better serve the people that we're going to serve. And it's hard to serve someone if they never hire you, right? And we're going to use it to be more effective versions of us and to be less miserable in the process. So attraction is about you having something they want. On the surface, to them, it's going to look like you are the vehicle that they need to ride to reach their goals. That's what we're after. If you can connect those dots for them, attraction is stimulated. And it's not like a once and done thing. It's like a balloon. A balloon where there's always a little air leaking. And so it needs more air constantly. So the key, though, when you're going to transform into this magical vehicle, right, that they're going to be attracted to, is to stop focusing your energy on individuals, on the individual clients, and to start focusing your gaze of this vehicle that they're going to want to hop on and drive to their goals. The focus of that vehicle is on the actual goals they're trying to achieve. So let me explain what I mean, because that brings me to my little analogy of the train. I don't even know where I came up with this idea. It hit me one day. But the deeper I dig into this, the more truth it holds for me in terms of an effective way to build attraction towards me and everything I can do in a powerful way. So think about the train. You, service provider, are going to be the train, right? That's the whole point here. Trains have destinations. What I've just said is the destination that your train is going to is towards the land of the goals that your clients are trying to achieve. Your train goes that way, right? Your train has a route to get there, to reach those destinations. Your train might have a schedule on which it travels that route, right? The schedule is not controlled by the passengers. Those are your prospective clients or clients. Trains have doors. Passengers get on. Passengers get off. The train doesn't break down if somebody leaves, crying in an emotional heap, right? The train neither rejoices when a passenger gets on. The train is largely indifferent to the individual passengers. The train is very focused on getting to the destination. the train couldn't care less about anything but that, right? Okay, so right now this is a neat little story about the train. But how does that behavior of the train build attraction, right? Because if you're going to do this, if you're going to build the systems that kind of make you into this being, if you're going to do the inner work that makes sure that your view of the world and the energy you carry and broadcast is congruent with this feeling, how does the rest of the process work? Well, think about a train. You're standing on, let's put you in the shoes of the client, right? You are standing on the platform. The train keeps coming by. It comes by on its schedule, right? You see people getting on, you see people getting off, you see people maybe getting on but then staying off, all different types of people. Every now and again, you'll hear somebody get off the train and talk about the destination that they were at, right? Where they were, how nice that land was. You'll hear about what they did there, what cool things happened there. This is exactly the dynamic that we mimic with the whole media platform thing, right? That's your train. That's one of the reasons it works so well. It keeps coming around, allowing people to get on or get off with absolutely no attachment to which is happening when, by whom. The train doesn't care who gets on or steps off because the train is only interested in taking those who want to get closer to the destination, right? For everyone waiting along the route, what you're doing here with this train going by over and over again is what I referred to this morning when I said it's demonstration without agenda. This gives you what is probably the securest, most sure-footed position of strength that there is. I first heard that phrase from Matt Smith, who was a client of mine for years, a very successful individual, a very deep thinker, talks about this position of strength. And it's something that he aspires to in his life, and I know from experience that he practices it. Meaning, he would like to maintain a position of strength with all those around him. And he doesn't mean this manipulatively. He means it in the most well-meaning way. And what he means by position of strength is he wants other people to feel like they owe him more than he has ever asked from them. So he would like to maintain a net positive in relation to everyone else. So that means he doesn't really ask for much of anything from anyone, right? And that is how he maintains what he calls a position of strength. Now, you can do this with a lot of people, and you can do this with the heart of service, right? And this is a very attractive position to be in. The person who needs nothing is by default, because us human beings are wired in the way we are, by default, that creates attraction. And so with the media platform, all we're doing here is getting our internal energy right. And then we're building this structure that amplifies that 100 times, 1,000 times, 10,000 times. Okay. So when I say demonstrate without agenda, I don't mean that you don't have a goal, right? We want more and better clients. Like that's where we're going. That's the land we would like to be in. But what it means is that the energy that you carry and the systems that you build have no specific goal or agenda for any one individual. That's totally different. That means you don't care who comes through the door or who doesn't. So to the extent you're able to be like the train, demonstrate what you do, how you do it, what people get because of it, that's how you ignite the power of attraction, right? And from there, it's a question of amplification. How big can you make that signal? For some people, that amplification is going to have a direct correlation with how many people are receiving what you publish, are involved in whatever platform you create. Not every business works that way. Amplification can happen in other ways. Okay. I said leading up to this that one of the things that we were going to talk through a little bit is how to get into some sort of habit that could bring you all, while you're doing all of this internal work, while you're beginning to build the client attraction systems, which we'll talk about in a minute, how you could use all this to get you steps closer to truly understanding what you bring to the table, right? Because as you get clear and clear and clear about that, your position of strength improves. Your lack of need improves because you know exactly who you're for and who you're not for, right? And that allows you to deal with the other people, prospective clients, in a much more detached way because it really focuses you on that destination your train is going. Right? Now, we talked about destination that your train is going in terms of the client, where they want it to go. But where they want to go is the intersection of what you bring to the table that's unique and valuable, which is the whole reason they want to get on the train. So there are two levels to this. There is looking at it from their perspective, and there is looking at it from your perspective, right? And when you know exactly what you're here to do and what you're capable of helping someone achieve, that makes you even more attractive because that clarity, as you amplify that signal out there, brings the people who resonate with that. Like, this is very simple at a certain level. So if you're not clear at all, start asking yourself the question, how are your clients better off after you work with them than they were before? This is a little bit like peeling an onion. It's a very simple question that you could probably answer for a long time, right? Because for example, if I'm a copywriter, well, I could say my clients are better off because, you know, they get the work done and they go out and their sales improve, ideally. And so I can measure the value that I'm delivering in that. Well, yeah, that's like the outside of the onion, right? But a lot of the clients that I work with, the onion has many, many layers. Like, a lot of the clients I work with come in as a bundle of skills, not sure exactly how to focus them for the greatest good. So what is the value of walking out on the other side of our time together with 100% clarity about what they're here to do and how that looks? Well, when I ask myself that question, how are they better off? And I start to think about all the areas of their life where that clarity will, you know, ripple through all those areas and bring value to them, I start to get a clear idea about exactly what type of value I bring to the table. This is another benefit of this media platform. When you take this signal and you amplify it out into the world, you're going to get a reflection. And the reflection brings data where you begin to piece this answer together. That's where I ended up with that phrase that I say all the time, the answers are in the doing. I'm an answer person. I want answers. Unfortunately, I had it completely bass-ackwards about how to get the answers. I thought I got the answers and then went out and executed on the answers. And how it seems to work is I go out and do things to help people, and then the answers come completely backwards from how my mind wanted to do it. Okay, so number one rule of attraction. Your power of attraction is damaged to the extent you are emotionally attached to any one result. There are many layers of this. You might get good at not broadcasting that you're attached to your clients. That's step one. That's like the first step. If you can get there, cool, you're making progress, even though deep down you know you are attached. This is a journey that I think never ends, at least my experience of it never ends, because this is a journey with all of these things, the conjuring the right feelings, all of this, a journey to mastery because you're practicing the exact same things over and over and over again. So when you start this, if you commit to something like this, you'll probably see right away one of two things, either a lot of frustration or a fair amount of progress. After a while, you're going to probably plateau and it will get boring. And that's the point, especially in my music career, where I stopped. I thought it was the top of a mountain, as if it was a mountain that I was climbing at all and not a rabbit hole that I was going down with no end. I really misunderstood the purpose of the journey, right? But the journey to mastery is one where there is no destination. hard for the mind to grasp. But this detaching yourself emotionally from the result, the more you do it, the more you will see people attracted to you. They're not going to be attracted to you if you sit at home on your couch. They will be attracted to you if you build the system that amplifies, demonstrates who you are, what you do, and how people benefit. Okay? So, one of the most important parts of this client attraction system that aids you in this emotional detachment, it actually reverse engineers it, because I really stink at doing things like this, but I'm really good at creating ways to take my weaknesses off the table, right? So I'm not so good at willing myself to do this or forcing myself to do that. I am very good. My mother would say it's because I have a somewhat devious mind, but I like to think I use it for better purposes than that. To build these little things that I have to stay in and operate in that take my weaknesses off the table. So for example, one of the most powerful tools in terms of this emotional attachment thing is that you build a track for your train. Your track is your set of processes that run within the business. Your processes for when the phones get answered. Your processes for how you quote fees. Your processes for how you respond to incoming inquiries that came in on a weekend or on a Monday, right? Or your processes for responding to clients who want to enlarge the scope of a project with no commensurate increase in fee. Like, talk about difficult. You don't want to get fired. You don't want to have the client hate you. They talk about increasing the scope. No one's mentioning any fee going up. Talk about emotional attachment. That's it right there. Unless you have a process that takes the emotional attachment off the table, you run your process. You say, dear client, it really makes sense that we increase the scope of this project. I think it will add to the probability of us reaching the goals that we've outlined. Of course, with that, there will be a commensurate increase in fee. It would be irresponsible of me not to commit additional resources in terms of time and effort to help you maximize this new, you know, scope that we've set and do everything I can to get to the goal. Process, done. No emotion, done, right? So the track, and the first places that you build the track are everywhere that you are giving your power away to clients or prospects. And you know where it is because we've talked about what that feels like. And if you're honest with yourself, you can probably sit down and write 5 or 10 things off the top of your head that happen over and over and over. And like I said, well, in this case, it is your fault, but it's also your responsibility. You can change it tomorrow and never have to do that because you will build a track that takes it off the table. The track keeps the train from having to constantly change its course for each individual passenger. So you focus on the track, you focus on building it, you focus at looking at how the train is running on it, or not how well it's running on it, and improving it. You do not focus on trying to maneuver individuals on it. The track is your process, it's your system for attracting clients. Okay. This is instant emotional detachment. This is instant increase in attraction to you, right? Because when a prospect feels what they will perceive as pushback, but it's done with calmness, coolness, and collected demeanor, that's attractive. What client doesn't want an expert that is in control of him and the journey to the result? I can't think of any client that you'd want to work with that wouldn't be true for. Okay, so that brings me to now, what does this system look like? And I created a diagram of this a couple weeks ago. If you go to incomparableexpert.com/spiral, I call it the platform spiral system of client attraction, right? The platform is spinning like a spiral. Think about like the weather map, the radar map of a hurricane in Florida coming off the ocean. It is spinning. You are at the center. People come in on the outer edge, and you slowly begin to attract them towards the center. If you pull up that spiral, and I'll put it on the resource list so that you have it for reference, you'll see, you know, drawn out what that looks like. So my client letter that you subscribe to is that media platform that is spinning for 5 years, attracting things towards me. All of this stuff that I've talked to you about today came from me at one time doing things the complete opposite way, right? Bumping up into a wall, getting my nose bloodied, losing clients, and then saying, well, that didn't work. How do we fix that? Right? And so that system, as simple as it looks, was built for that in mind. It is built for demonstration without agenda in a way that shows a large amount of people, way more than you could ever work with, what you do, how you do it, that is unique. And it's unique because it's just the way I do it. So it's not that I've sat down and come up with 20 ways that what I do is unique. No, I just show people what I do. And they figure out what's unique about it and what they see that they can't get anywhere else. And because it just keeps spinning, they see it over and over again in different ways, right? And then along the way, there are opportunities for people to raise their hand and come one step closer. Maybe it's a consultation on the phone. Maybe it's a teleseminar much like this one. Maybe it's a newsletter subscription. There are a lot of possibilities, only limited by your creativity and the people that you are trying to attract and what makes sense for them, right? So all of that spiral would probably work okay, but it works a whole lot better when you've done the internal work, because at some point when this whole system is working, you're going to come face to face with a potential client. Might be on the phone, it might be, I don't know, through email or whatever. And if you haven't done that internal work to get that need eradicated and that feeling of, wow, I don't need anything from anyone. I do not need this client. I will do my best to direct them closer to the goal than they are now. When you can really get there, the results that everything else produces just grow exponentially. It's really hard to, I don't really expect you to believe it, frankly. And that's why we kind of start with this whole system, with building that platform. Because if you just get that running long enough, you begin to prove this to yourself. And I remember that day, it was only a few years ago, where I was on the phone with somebody, and just for a split second, and it literally was a split second, I actually believed like that I knew what I was doing. Like it just hit me like, wow, that was what you're doing with this individual is really something special. And like you can say that about yourself, but it's very different when you feel it for a moment. And I'll never forget what that feeling was like. I would describe it as me feeling like I was enough, like I was okay. And that was the beginning of me saying, wow, if you feel like that all the time, if you learn how to bring that into what you're doing, if you learn how to bring that into the prospect conversations you have, even to the marketing pieces that you create, even to the way that you structure your services and say, payment is on commencement. And I can think of maybe two clients over the last few years where that's not been the case, mainly because that wasn't how they worked and I didn't really care. But, stuff like that. It's amazing how that simple shift in your mind, the corresponding belief it creates in your gut, when you have a system that amplifies a signal like that to the world, it is amazing what will come back to you. Okay, that's the path. It's not rocket science. It does seem to be a fair amount of normal science. And I'll list some of the additional resources on the resource list that have helped me kind of piece together what is really, looking back, a very simple journey, but one that I think if you do the work will really help you ramp up not only the attractive force towards you, but the quality of the individual that is attracted towards you. Because if you haven't noticed, we tend to attract clients with the same issues and obstacles that we have, right? Which is why some clients annoy us to death, because we're looking in the mirror at the parts of ourselves that we can't stand. And so as you work through those, as you work through your need for validation or a pat on the head or anyone to say that what you're doing has value, you will upgrade the quality of the person you attract. You will no longer attract anyone who would require that. And I can totally say with 100% confidence that that is what will happen, because we started with the reason why. Everything is energy, and energy responds to simple laws. Not that we understand them all, but we can observe how it works, and we can begin to learn some of the principles behind it. Okay, so we're coming up on Q&A. If you have questions, raise your hand. Ask them if you're listening online by writing them down. If there are no questions, that's fine, but I'll give you guys a couple minutes. What's going to happen next is everyone will get a recording of this. Let's see. I will make have a transcript made of this. There will be the resource list with a bunch of links from things to investigate to go deeper in all of these areas, and then also that additional report that I published that is yet another step in how to take this out. And I think the subtitle of the report is something about how to sell without needing them to buy, right? Which is exactly how an incomparable expert, according to me, goes out into the marketplace with what they have. You can sell hard. You can sell with everything you have if you so choose. But there's a difference between selling hard and needing them to buy. And once you learn that distinction and how to control which one you choose, a lot of things change. So, okay. Questions? You hit star 2 to raise your hand if you want to ask a question. You also feel free to email a question if you write quickly. I will take a look here and see what's coming in. And if there are no questions, that's fine too. But now is your chance, because chances are if you have the question, a lot of people have the question. Alrighty. Is there an attractive way to follow up with a prospect? If so, what is it? All right. First of all, when one person says follow up, we don't always assume that it means the same thing as when another person says follow up. Most people, when they say that word, they are following up with an agenda. The really clueless ones are following up with the agenda of, I would like you to say, to get to buy what I have. The ones that are a little less clueless are following up with an agenda to simply get an answer, what David Sandler might have referred to as the truth. I don't care if it's a yes. I don't care if it's a no. The only thing I can't accept is nothing, right? So please give me an answer. I'm following up. What have you decided? Then there's me on the other end, way down, away. So I will not follow up. And this is me. When you get your system going, you will find your place in this spectrum. I'm rather draconian, but it's because I understand me. I understand that the minute I express interest in anything, it moves away. And I have validated this for myself over and over and over again. So my platform follows up. My platform follows up with zero agenda. So to me, follow-up is simply reminding someone that I'm alive. Because I'm in a client business where I don't care if it takes you 2 years. Because my clients can be so valuable to me, and I'm just talking dollars and cents, that I'm willing to wait that long. I'm willing to invest a lot of time and effort and patience. Your business may not be quite like that. But somewhere along that spectrum, I think is the answer for almost everyone. I'd recommend no one goes, you know, to the I'm following up, would you like to buy today? What do I have to do to get you in this car? End of things. I think the right answer, the smart answer with someone who's looking to attract is I'm following up to get an answer, or my platform is going to follow up. And here is another place where you use your track to remove emotional attachment to the result. And the first time that I heard this from was from one of Alan Weiss's books years ago. I don't know if it was value-based fees or million-dollar consulting. The brilliant idea, which goes to show you how clueless I was at the time, that when you're delivering anything to a prospect, a sales conversation, proposal, whatever, you never ever leave without commitment for the next step. How many times have I not done that? So in that case, you take the need for follow-up off the table. Now maybe they're a loser and they say, you call me a week from now and I'm gonna answer whatever questions you have about this proposal, and then they don't show up. Well, there you got your answer, and that's when I would just keep going and let my platform continue to do its work in that person's life. But most of this, your process can take off the table. So that's where this track analogy is so valuable. This is why you sit down, you write down the list of 5 to 10 most annoying things that happen over and over with your clients, and then you get the process that takes them off the table so that this will never happen again. That's how I would attractively view follow-up. All right. When our ability to pay our bills in the short term depends on a client's approval, what do we tell ourselves? There's a difference between doing what you have to do, which we all do, and feeling need. And I would say that if your situation is such where paying your bills in the short term makes you feel like you must get their approval, then I would say, wow, you have an opportunity because you have been granted admittance to the AP eradication of need class. Because if you can develop the feelings that I'm talking about in situations like that, then when those situations are no longer, you will be so far ahead of the crowd, you will be very grateful for those situations, right? Because really, what else are you supposed to do? Number one, no victims. So we are where we're at. You have the choice then to make the best of it or not. If you decide to make the best, I'm assuming you're going to make the best of it. If you decide that, then you have two more forks in the road. You're either going to focus on the things you do control, or you're going to focus on the things you do not control. To me, even though it's sales heresy, I do not control whether a client says yes. I gave that up. I don't really care. I want them to say yes. I like money. I like being able to buy food. I like being able to give my kids just about whatever they want. Right? So that it's not that that wouldn't be nice. But I don't kid myself to think that that's under my control. What is under my control is how I train myself to feel and how I train myself to exist in even the least, even the worst circumstances, right? We have a choice always. And so I say, yes, maybe your situation sucks. We've all been there. Some of us go back there from time to time, but we all have the greatest asset, which is what do we do from now? How do we develop that radical acceptance of what is and then move forward to greener pastures? All right, that is that question. Thank you. Okay, is the client letter part of your media platform? The client letter is my media platform, right? Media platform is a regularly reoccurring tool for distributing value to people that you could help. Those people know when it's coming because you've told them when it's coming. So you have pre-made the road through which you will travel. They know when you will show up. After a while, they will expect you to show up. Eventually, they will miss you if you do not show up. Never understood what Seth Godin meant about that. When he says, the goal is, you're doing something right is when they miss you if you're gone. If that client letter didn't get out there to people, it would probably happen on the first day, but I'm not going to stroke my ego. Certainly, within 2 or 3 days, people would be saying, "Where are you?" Right? That, I think, is the power of the media platform. It is that promise you make on the front end. The promise requires your commitment, which is the whole reason it works, because so few people are willing to do it. If you commit to publishing a weekly newsletter and you don't show up weekly, you look dumb. Not only that, you've made a promise and you've not kept it. So the power of the media platform, the client letter is my primary one, is that I make a promise that every day, and then I fulfill the promise every day. That is why it builds trust. It's not, yes, it builds trust because I know what I'm talking about. Yes, it builds trust because I show people that I've helped. It builds trust for a lot of reasons, but I honestly think, and this isn't hard to communicate to somebody because it's so simple, that the most powerful reason it builds trust is because I rack up more promises made and promises kept over time. All right, let's see. Any questions from the people on the phone? Star two if you do. Going once. Let's see if I missed any. All right. Last call. If not, we will wrap this up and I will get the recording out to you and the transcript and everything. The point to this and making it as brief as possible was to create something that you could listen to over and over again, that you would begin to internalize first by taking these thoughts and ideas as from me, and then making them your own, and then refining and distilling for your best use, and then taking them out there into the world where your clients are going to notice. So this is not a once and done thing. This is something that will work its way from your into your subconscious and then out through your conscious mind. And if you do the work, really, I didn't really have anyone, standing down there, saying, "Wow, if you only knew." But I am privileged to be able to be that person for whoever's willing to listen. And in a day and age where you are trying to help people with what you do, and it's really hard to do that if you don't have some sort of bridge built where they can notice you, like you, come closer to you, and finally say, "How can you help me?" The system that I've just walked through, that's what that does. And it does it by you, unfortunately, paying the price first in upgrading yourself, in upgrading how you go out into the world, and then building something that actually can help people, whether or not they ever hire you. And from those people, the clients will come. All right. I think that will do it. Thank you all. You'll be hearing from me shortly with the recording, and I wish you the best. If you do have questions, feel free to email me, support@incomparableexpert.com, and I will respond. So, any clarifications you need about what we covered or how this might apply to your situation, I look forward to helping you take the next step. Thank you all, and talk to you soon. Bye bye.